The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Happy Hour. Today we are joined by the one and only, she's giving me a little smirk over there, my BFF, the best person I know, my twin sister, Lucy.
Hello.
Guys, she's so cute. I wish you could see her right now. She has a little smile. I also wish you guys were just here for the moments right before I clicked record, because I was sitting here like, hey everyone, welcome to Happy Hour, welcome to, this is what my brain does before every episode. I worry about the first, like,
she was glitching.
Yes, I was glitching. You needed to put me in rice, because I worry for like the first 5 seconds of every episode, and then I just start talking and it's okay. And Lucy already knows what it's like, because we did an episode before.
Yeah.
The audio was a little messed up. So I apologize if you guys listen to that one, but this one will make up for it, because I know we're on the right setting. I like triple checked. And we just talked about your life in Ireland in that one, I think. Oh, because that's when you were here
I wasn't back, though.
No, I know. You were here for Christmas break.
Oh, yeah. I was here for Christmas.
And you were talking about what life was like there and your job and all sorts of stuff. So you guys should listen to that. Do know that the audio's a little freaky. It sounds like Lucy is literally,
like, underwater
in the swimming pool across the stream. But if you, like,
I'm tuning in.
If you try really hard, you can hear what she's saying. So, yes. Okay, this week's episode is a little difficult, however, I know how important this is to talk about, because this has been maybe the number one requested episode ever since we lost our father last year. Whoa, for a second I was like, wait, was it last year? Yeah, it was. Time is so weird for me, and don't you agree, Lucy? Like, it feels like yesterday, but now it feels like a while ago. Like, honestly, more than anything, it feels recent.
I was about to be like, was it 2019? And then I was just looking and like, yeah, it was 2019.
It just seems so weird, like,
because I remember the 1 year anniversary, I was like, so has it technically been 2 years now? We're in our second year, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It was March of 2019 that we lost our dad very, very suddenly and unexpected. So what I do want to plug is my episode from April 3rd. I looked up so you guys can go back. And it's titled Losing a Parent. So if you haven't listened to that, I would recommend listening to that. I say that cautiously because I think I cry the entire time. So sorry. That one was definitely harder
Did you film it right?
Record it.
Yeah, did you record it like on his anniversary of his death? Like,
no.
Nearly, because that's like a week after or something.
Yeah. I must have talked about how it was nearly a year.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised you're crying.
Yeah, so it was March 25th of 2019, but I just talk about more specifically the moments leading up to and after losing him, and it was just more difficult because I was by myself and I didn't have the support system of my twin sister sitting across from me, so I do think this will be easier to talk about this time around. Obviously, if we're crying, I'm sure you can understand why, but what I want to focus on is sort of, in the most positive way that we can, life moving forward after losing someone very important in your life, because I think that's why this has been requested so much.
The grieving process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so many people, everyone loses someone important to them at some point in their life. And we'll talk about it, but I always say it's so weird because it's such an isolating feeling when everyone loses someone close to them at some point. So, yeah, that's just what I want to talk about. We're just going to talk about our grieving journey, if you will, and Yeah, but first, you guys know we always have, I always have the way, a little start off my podcast, but I wanted to have Lucy give you a little intro in case you're new, and I always assume that you guys have been with me forever because, I don't know, but I'm sure some of you are new, so take it away, girl.
Okay, so Gretchen and I are obviously twins. We rode together in high school, and we went to Boston University together to be on the lightweight rowing team, and it didn't pan out.
But I love how you say rowing. We rode together. We didn't go to high school. We rode in high school.
Well, yeah. High school was like secondary, but rowing was the focus.
Yeah.
But I studied abroad and I met my boyfriend. I was studying in Paris. I met him in Amsterdam and he's from Ireland. So I just spent the year in Ireland. And yeah, that's what's up.
And now she's back.
And I'm back. Yeah. My first year after BU.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now I'm back and I'm gonna find a job. And
yeah,
I'm home, so that's good.
Yeah, so she just did her first year post grad in Ireland, living the dream. And
if I did a work study. I had a work study visa.
That's good to tell people in case they're interested.
Yeah.
So if you want to do that work study visa, people. Mm-hmm. And when you said that you met your boyfriend abroad, I feel like that's, like, everyone's dream, you know? TBT, like, you go abroad, yeah, and you meet, like, a European man.
It feels weird saying it like that, because I'm like, it's just Dara. We've been dating for nearly 3 years.
But that's literally what happened.
Yeah.
Guys, she visited Amsterdam for, like, a weekend and, like, met this cute boy who was like, this is very forward of me. Can I ask you on a date? And she was like, sure.
Yeah.
Here they are. 2 years later. Two years.
Technically, he gave me his charger to put it in my bag. Mm-hmm. And then he conveniently forgot it, and knowing I would forget it. And that's
the old leave behind trick.
Exactly, the leave behind. And you, like, would take the bus from Amsterdam to Paris. It'd be, like, a 10-hour bus.
Really?
Yeah, because it would stop in all these different countries and, cities on the way.
That is dedication. Yeah. That is true love, people.
Yeah, so that was our first time living together for more than, like, a month. because, like, he'd come to visit, and he, like, stayed with us for a month over the summer, but that was, like, the most. So we lived together 10 months, so that was fun. It's very odd being alone now, but
yeah. I know, because that was, like, your new normal being with him.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, being in Ireland.
We should very do beautiful. This is making me realize we should do another episode on real long-distance relationships, because everyone likes to give me shit and be like, you weren't in a real long-distance relationship, you included. Because Lucy really knows what it's like when you're in a 5-6 hour time difference, you know?
And, like, just practically, we don't have successful jobs yet, you know, and, like, we don't have
the next
a free
time.
Schedule.
Yeah, you don't. Yes.
So
you don't know, like, the next time you're gonna see each other. I think that's typical.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm just, like,
typical. Yeah. Definitely.
Flying around.
And, like, even Max, like, he's not obviously doing a traditional job and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, that's
he has
cool.
way more free time.
It's definitely, I'm jealous, like, looking at both of you, but
yeah.
But
it's not
different.
The norm. Yeah. Yeah. So we should have you on to talk all about just long distance relationships, because you actually know what it's like. So have you guys been together 2 years now?
3 in October.
Wait. Whoa. Because I remember it was the fall. I thought it was September, October.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. But wasn't your
but
start
we technically
weird?
We met. Yeah. Like, we just count our anniversary from, like, pretty much when we met. We met, like, the end of September.
Okay.
And we didn't.
I knew it was, like, a blurry
dating. Like, we were
gray area to the start.
Yeah. He wasn't in a good place. We were, like, in an open relationship for a while, which, like, neither of us did anything with, but, like,
yeah.
Just because it was, like, hesitant
and
not sure about the future and, like,
like,
if
you
I'm
started
going
off
America.
Long distance. You were always long distance.
Yeah. Like, Paris, Amsterdam, and then Boston, Amsterdam, and then Boston,
Ireland.
Albany, Ireland. Whatever. But,
yeah. Not getting any closer, all these moves.
Yeah. Not any closer, but.
But.
It's nice
she's
traveling.
She's home.
Yeah.
She's home. She's back, everybody.
Yeah.
We are in Albany, New York right
the
now.
The airport was not too bad. It was the best time I've ever had traveling in an airport. Minus
because
the anxiety of traveling during COVID, but because it's, like, empty.
Interesting. So it ran, like,
I
smoother.
Saw more people at Guptill's Ice Cream than I did in the airport. I'm not kidding. I had a real heart attack when we went to get ice cream the other day.
You guys, if any of you are from Albany and been to Guptill's, we went the other day and there were so many people. Obviously, everyone was spaced out, but still, like Lucy said, it was kind of
there like... There was full little kid kind of softball teams. I was like, why is everyone and their mother here?
And she keeps saying how she keeps seeing way more people around, like in Albany. Like, yeah. I don't know. In the U.S., people just are going West out doing Ireland things.
Is like the lowest population density in the world. Like, part one
so
of
So where
lowest
you were, it like wasn't even an issue, really.
There's like... Yeah, because of all the cows and fields and stuff.
Like, she, like, didn't see other humans there. So now she's back home and she's like, this is so bizarre that we have neighbors. There's people everywhere
I turn. The neighbors, it freaks me out.
She keeps saying it's weird that we have neighbors. I'm like, okay, Lou, it's always been like this.
I haven't had neighbors in months.
What's another human being? What are neighbors? I don't know what that's like.
Never heard of it.
Okay, other thing, this is just, like, you guys know, I like to just break the ice, just, like, chat a little bit in the beginning before we get into, like, you know...
The quotes.
The deep, heavy-hitting things. But first, I want to tell them about our purple sweatshirts.
I thought we were going to do the quotes.
No, that's after.
That's after? I don't know. Yeah. I thought that was, like, in part of
Well,
intro.
It doesn't really matter.
That's fine.
But, quickly, you guys, just to show you how we're twins, I feel like the time that we were most connected, like, mentally or just, like, spiritual, I don't know how you call it, emotionally, because we spent literally every waking moment together would be like the last 2 years of high school, like junior, senior. So,
or like, and also the first 9 months of our life. But
oh yeah, you know, when we like
and
shared the
whole time we were children. But
yeah, but I mean, I just from like what I can remember, like the most clearly, like 11th and 12th grade. So I guess it's good that you brought up rowing because that's why we like ate together, slept together, rode together, went to school, like we did everything together. Our schedules were similar, like we were BFFs. I feel like we had like very similar interests and then sort of like branched off in college, even because we're such different people, so like it makes a lot of sense that we would be into different things. But I just remember back then we would like be at restaurants and like order the same thing and not realize or like say the same things, like I feel like
or
stuff like
want
that was
the
happening.
Same food and we'd split both of them.
Yes. We always
That's
go
a, like
footsies.
A good tip and trick.
So you guys wish you had a twin. It's really fun. Interrupting in here, super quick to tell you guys about Purple Mattress. So I've been thinking how technology has improved just about everything by now. Phones, cars, shopping. Yet mattresses have more or less really just been the same since the invention of sleep. But we definitely deserve better, especially since we spend so much of our lives sleeping in bed, if you think about it. And finally, the mattress has evolved thanks to Purple. The secret to Purple is the Purple Grid. It's a patented comfort technology that instantly adapts to your body's natural shape and sleep style. Purple is really for every body, providing total pressure relief no matter how you sleep. Personally, I'm always the most comfortable in my stomach. Anyone else? Is it just me? I don't know. Purple is designed with over 2,800 open air channels and naturally temperature neutral gel, so you'll never sleep too hot or too cold. The Purple mattress is soft where you want it, firm where you need it, and comfortably cool all over. I got a sample in the mail, you guys, and I'm definitely most impressed with how soft and comfortable it feels, yet how supportive at the same time. And also that it's cooling, since I can get so hot when I sleep. You can count on resting easy night after night, year after year, because the ultra-durable Purple Grid won't sink or lose shape. And Purple is so confident in what they do, you guys, that every Purple mattress comes with free shipping and returns and a risk-free 100-night trial. So to experience the next evolution of sleep, go to purple.com/GG and use promo code GG. For a limited time, you'll get $150 off any Purple mattress order of $1,500 or more. That's purple.com/GG, promo code GG, for $150 off any mattress order of $1,500 or more. Terms apply. Now, let's get back into the episode. But now it's funny because even though we are literally opposites, like our personality-wise, we do still have some similar interests. For example, purple crew neck sweatshirt.
Yeah,
people.
I've been really liking lavender, like the really light purple.
Me too.
And I've been wanting a swimsuit from U Swim, if anyone, whatever.
I have never
It's like
that.
This sustainable brand, and they have like 7 sizes in one swimsuit. It's like actually one size fits all, not like Brandy Melville one size fits all.
Like fake one size
fits all. Like it fits absolutely, like people can wear it through their pregnancies and stuff.
That's amazing.
I'm like, I want it so bad, but they're like very sold out, and they restock every day at like 3 p.m. British time.
Then you hear your alarm
set. 10 a.m. and... Yeah, but they haven't restocked any of the colors I want, but they have really nice, they have a lilac.
Okay, you'll have to
whatever.
Show me after this.
Yeah.
Because I want to see.
It's like that material, I remember Maggie wearing a bathing suit, like the material, it's like, it looks kind of like
stretchy?
Terry cloth, but it's like very stretchy, like, you know the thicker, I don't know.
I don't know if I've known.
I feel crazy. I would show you right now. It's not. It's not a terry cloth. It looks like I'm showing you.
Okay, she's showing me. But okay, purple sweatshirt.
We'll insert a picture into this podcast.
Insert picture here. Sorry, you still can't see it. Okay, purple sweatshirt. Oh.
They have like.
It's just all like ribbed and actually scrunchy.
Like every size, like anyone can wear them. Like.
Interesting.
It's cool. Like the, okay, that purple.
Now I want one. Oh, the one piece. Oh, that's cute. And they're like high waist. Are they all high waisted?
No, they have different styles, but I like that.
Okay, one not sponsored like by them, by the way. But this is just coming up. Like, okay, she so goes, cute. I wish. Lucy's very into sustainable shopping, yeah, by the
which
way.
Is why I am so disappointed with myself about the purple crew neck sweater, because I didn't want it, didn't need it. I have a million sweatshirts. I said the last thing I'll ever do is buy a sweatshirt. And I bought a sweatshirt, and I'm like, I'm going back and returning everything I got because I feel so bad about it. Why did
you buy Lucy?
It wasn't a good time. It wasn't a good idea. It's not
okay. What I'm want. Telling the story. So today I get a package in the mail from Aritzia. I think this purple sweatshirt.
But it could have been what I wanted because it is really cute still. Like, but if it was like sustainable and like.
Okay, so that's what bothers you the most.
Yeah.
Is Aerie sustainable? Do we know?
No.
Okay.
I guess I just and it's don't. Not like a good material. It like sheds. I'm like, I need to stop okay. investing in this
investing bad in quality.
Yeah, like all my Brandy Melville tanks are like pilled and like
you're oh like amazing, God. Going in the trash.
Yeah,
or donating, yeah. Not trash. Okay, but donating. Okay, so I get my purple Aritzia sweatshirt in the mail today. I've probably been waiting for months. Back order. It's like this lilac, oversized, amazing, whatever. Looks kind of like a bit washed out. Yeah. Washed out. So I try it on and I'm like, Lucy, look, I just got this sweatshirt in the mail. And she was like, Gretchen, shut up. Look what I literally bought at the mall yesterday. And
I was like, did you see what I got yesterday?
It's literally the same, you guys. It's the same. But hers is from Aerie. And I like kind of wish I had hers.
And it's like softer and more purple.
Because hers is more purpley and cuter and softer. And I'm like,
but
all
right. Bought it with the intention of like cropping it because I'm like a psychopath. And then like, but it, the fabric around the midsection is just so, there's so much that it's it would loose, just make yeah. me look huge. Like, even huger somehow. Like,
yeah, but huger is, like, better because then you just feel so cozy.
I know. I feel like it'd be fun. But, I mean, like, if I cropped it, it would be, like, just so much fabric around. Like, I don't know. I think it'd be worse than how it is now. But either way, I'm returning it. So can't it's crop it now.
But hers was, like, 20 and mine was probably 70 or 80. And I like hers. I'm deciding on whether or not I should just keep hers. But then I'd have to, like, return mine. Mine's definitely better quality, but I like the color of hers. Does anyone care? Right? You guys don't care. All I'm trying to say is we have twin telepathy. To the quotes that Lizzie's talking about. But first you have to say what you're happy about right now. Force yourself to find something you're happy about. Because Lizzie can find
a hard morning.
She can find a lot of things to be not happy about.
I'm happy that I have long distance support from Dara.
Aww.
Despite everything. And I'm happy.
That's good. You can be grateful for that.
I'm happy that it's COVID, that we can be like with our family and spend time together. Not like.
I was like happy
obviously
that it's COVID.
Not happy that it's COVID. Because I'm not happy to be here in COVID. Ireland's doing so much better. But
you'd rather be there.
Definitely.
But. You're happy for, like, the silver linings
that
this pandemic
is like, seeing,
us.
Like, mom's working from home, and if she wasn't working from home, we wouldn't see her all day, every day.
Yeah. And, so it's better.
Yeah.
Even though it can be stressful, and we're all, like, yelling at each other, she's like, everyone, shh, out of my work area. Yeah. We're like, Mom, we're going.
Like, I'm whispering two sentences, and she's like, stop it!
She's like, I need to focus, everyone. I'm sure you guys can relate. If anyone in your immediate life and family is working from home, it's just a new normal.
It's a new normal for her because she's used to having her set up in the kitchen, but obviously the kitchen's popping when we're all home. Yes. So
she works at like our kitchen table.
She's like, please keep it down.
I don't like blame her at all because it's so beautiful. It's like our little like
nice
breakfast
light.
Nook. Yeah, there's like windows everywhere. It's so nice over there, but it's a really bad office because our house is laid out. It's so open, like it's open to the. That's Teddy barking.
Someone's
maybe
here.
He'll stop soon. He barks a lot. But it's open to the kitchen, to the living room, to the hallway, to the other, to the dining room.
High ceilings. It just carries everything.
Like you can hear from one end of our house to the other. I guess I'll say quickly, you guys know, I always say like a happy quote, or I guess this week for me, it's more of like a happy idea. You know what? Disclaimer. What I should have said in the beginning is, please forgive me. I'm like working my hardest, working my best. I'm trying my hardest. Yep, that's it. I'm trying my hardest to not talk over Lucy or be, like, really overbearing, but that's sort of my personality. And we're so different because I would say growing up, I don't know. Lucy's just, like she's sitting there looking at me. She's such a good listener. And I'm like, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, Dad always said I would let you do the talking and just, like, watch how things panned out.
Yeah. Like you can see in our baby video since we were -1. So, I apologize if I ever speak over her. Know that it doesn't come from...
She's speaking for both of us.
...a bad place. Like, I don't mean that. I just... Yeah. I don't know. I think I just get so excited.
Yeah.
Because I relate to something you're saying, and I'm like, oh my God, me too. Or, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so first, all I have to say is this isn't really a happy quote. It's kind of lame. Lucy's is way better, so I'll just get mine out of the way. Just, like, a happy idea is... This will come up later on. I will discuss again. Just that... Like, to force yourself to be grateful or thankful in a situation where you really wouldn't. For example, I've had times in the past where I've dealt with being sort of, like, treated not fairly from people in positions of authority. And in that situation, I'm like, okay, what do I have to be grateful for, thankful for? Like, this sucks. Like, I gotta get out of here. But after the fact, it's really easy. Hindsight's 20/20. But to look back and then find something to be grateful for, I'm like, wow, I learned. I'm so thankful that I learned to not put up with crap from people. Like, I learned how to do that and learned how to be like, okay, this person, although they may be in a position of authority or whatever it is, like, I don't need to put up with this sort of thing. So, like, that taught me that. And in the situation of my dad, it's really hard to find a silver lining. And I'm sure you guys can understand if you've lost someone close to you, you're like, okay, no silver linings here. Just want them here. I can relate. However, when I force myself to be grateful, I think, okay, there are people that have never met their mom, never met their dad. You know, the saying goes, like, someone's always got it worse than you.
Yeah, Dara's dad. Well, one, I was going to say, just Dara would always say that about being grateful. Because he's like, you can't feel sad for yourself and also feel grateful. Like, they're just conflicting feelings. It's one or the other. So if you're feeling sad and, like, a pity spiral for yourself, like, he's like, just... Like, try to think of things you're grateful, like, name things, like, you, whatever you can think of, like, your dog, your whatever, you know? But, yeah, Dara's dad was, like, I was touched by, like, obviously how we took our dad's passing. And he was saying that, like, so many people are, like, relieved or grateful when their parents pass away. Like, they're a negative influence by then. Like, it's just, like nagging or their whatever. I never thought about
that. But if you have a bad relationship with a parent, wow, I guess you could feel that way. That seems really wrong to feel.
Where it's
that
like
way.
A weight lifted or something.
But I'm sure people do.
But yeah, tons of people. And like, yeah, you don't get to choose your parents, so we're just lucky.
Yeah. So that's what I forced myself to do. I forced myself to feel grateful for having, like, I always say, it's so weird, and I'm sure for Lucy, too, to try to, like, put it into words for other people. I'm like, no one else can understand. But, like, we know that we had literally the best dad for the first 22 years of our life. Like, I don't even know how to describe the most caring, selfless.
I know.
Like,
people can see it in the videos. Like, they would always comment it. And I remember...
Anyone that knew him would know what we're talking about.
I remember it was really nice. Someone commented on, like, an old video, like... random, like, a couple months ago, and I, like, just happened to see it on, like, YouTube Studio, like, one of the only times I checked it this year, and, like, she was like, oh, like, I hope you watch this video back, Lucy, like, your dad's being so, like, he made you, like, doll after you got back from, like, the gym, and, like, whatever, he would, like, make nice food and be really cute.
Cooking.
And I know our wisdom teeth videos. I've been thinking about watching those because I know he was, like, so good with us then.
We need to.
And I feel like that kind of, that reminds me of how he would have been with us when we were babies, like, in all the baby videos, because we were being, like...
So caring crazy. And gentle and patient and, like, I also don't even know how to put it, but, like, doing the best when, like, the cameras are off. Or, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like...
Yes, he showed up all the time.
Like, he showed up day in and day out.
And it was, you always knew he was thinking about you because he's calling, like, all the time. He'd call all the time, like, every free second. He'd be calling me, Gretchen, my mom, like, his ladies. He'd always be checking in, like, what's up today? Like, what are you dealing with? Like,
He was, like, the glue. Like, he just kept us all together. Like, everything was good. He was, like, the problem solver, the mediator. You know?
With my back, too, like, I was injured from rowing. And he was, like, my advocate on every single call. He'd be, like, he'd, like, call me in or something. Or I'd call him in. And he'd always just be on the phone with me with whatever doctor, whatever athletic training, whatever, physical therapist, BU mm-hmm. people, like, whatever just it was.
Just to make sure.
Yeah, just to make sure that I'm being, like, listened to and, like, attended mm-hmm. to and, like, mm-hmm. and that they're not, like, I don't know, missing big things or something. That just goes to show
he was just so caring.
Yeah.
Like, the kind of soul, so, like...
He was, like, larger than life, like, his personality and, like, his, mm-hmm. like, his presence, I don't know.
Yes. And he was very, that just makes me think of, you know, like, the love language, is that sort of thing. His mm-hmm. was totally acts of service.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't just say, I love you, like, he meant it, well, he would show you.
Yeah, we said it every night, and, like, I love, like, kiss goodnight, hug goodnight, whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's we big, because people day. Don't do that with their parents, like, that's not, like, too normal, but it seemed normal. Like, you
mean anymore?
No, with, like, people and their parents, I don't know if everyone does that with their parents every single night. Like, it was always
I guess I wouldn't know. Because we always exactly. do that. It and we still do that with me,
but, like, with Dara and his, I don't know, you know?
Like, different families are different. Yeah, we always say goodnight to our mom. Like, you got it. Or that's just how we were raised, yeah. I guess. So, yeah, I guess that's just a little about our dad. So that's why, oh, wow, I just honestly, talked about
talk forever.
My idea for so long, and you mm-hmm. have to talk about your quote. But, yeah, forcing yourself to be grateful and thankful and knowing that we had the best dad for the first 22 years of our life instead of mm-hmm. maybe one that we didn't have a good relationship with for our whole life or something like that. So that's just a happy idea for you guys. And now Lucy is going to tell you a really good quote.
Yeah, so... Well, to start off, Dara's been reading this book we've been trying to get into reading over quarantine. And it's called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor E. Frankl. And he was in concentration camp during, like, World War II. And he was a survivor and he became, like, a psychiatrist and would try to help people. But the first half of the book is about his experience in the concentration camps, and the second half is, like, about, like, applying everything he learned and, like, experienced, like, practically and, like, trying to help people and all of that. But so I have, like, a bunch of good quotes from this. I'd, like, 10 out of 10 recommend it because it's very helpful with, like, grieving and, like, suffering and putting things into perspective.
Oh, I thought you were reading a quote. I was like, there's a quote in there, 10 out of 10, recommend it.
I would 10 out of 10 recommend it. You're 10 out of 10
recommending it to people.
Okay. Yeah, Dara read the whole thing, and he would, like, read me little blurbs, and then I took it with me on the plane, and, like, granted, I'm only halfway through, so I'm not to, like, the psychotherapy part about it, but still very good.
I want to read it.
Yeah, you should read it after me. But my quote is, he who has a why to live for can bear almost any how, and it's from Nietzsche. I'm pretty sure that's how you say his name.
That's Nietzsche.
Yeah. Who would have known?
I wrote it down.
But yeah, I think that's, like, really important. He talks about a lot about, like, the
wait, will meaning. You say it again?
Yeah.
Just to get it in their brains. Listen up, people.
Well, you have to stop talking so I can
call me out.
He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how. So, like, he was saying, like, the how is, like, them being in, like, the concentration camp and stuff. But you can apply it, obviously, to everything in any circumstance. And it's just finding, like, the meaning behind you, like, keeping on and, like, one foot in front of the other, that type of thing. I feel like, I don't know. It resonated with me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really enjoy
it. I think, well, what it makes me immediately think of is, has a why to live for, can bear almost any how. So it's like, okay, the hows are all the difficult parts and, like, the lows in your life. Like, how can I keep going? How can this be happening? Yeah. How is this possible? And then the why is, like, the why to live for.
Yeah,
it's like, where's my
the purpose?
My purpose and my joy, and where's my passion, and where's my fulfillment? Like, where is that coming from? What does that look like for me?
Yeah, so I feel that. Like, even in the form of, like, hope, because I'm sure it's not easy to keep a why in a concentration, you know, like, I don't know. And, wait, there was another quote that I wanted to read. Yeah, because you were talking about at the very beginning, like, just about, like, everyone being different and, like, I don't know, everyone having a different circumstance, but, because it was saying that no man and no destiny can be compared with any other man or any other destiny. No situation repeats itself. Each situation calls for a different response.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. Everyone's grieving is, like, separate and, like, they experience different emotions and like revelations or whatever you want to call it, but like, I don't know, it's not like you're any more alone.
I
really like that too, because sometimes it's hard when you're like, well, for me it's like blah 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 and they have it whatever, like easier or hard, you know, just comparing yourself. So it's like important to remember that,
compare yourself to anyone else's,
yeah, like journey. Literally every single aspect of your situation is like unique. So you can't,
I never thought of it like that, and that was ignorant for me earlier to be like, oh my gosh, like immediately kind of I'm shocked thinking of how could you be relieved when someone dies, but then it's like, whoa, 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 let's like peel it back.
There's a couple different ways, like if someone's been suffering for a long time or if they're not,
or if you have a bad relationship, like I have, if they some were abusive,
we have some friends who have had fathers that like either don't show up in a good way or they're just like very, very negative influence, like impact, like that type of thing. So yeah, like it's, yeah, kind of stepping back and realizing that, that there's many different
layers,
forms of
it.
A father, and like, just be like grateful for what you have.
And I think that's really good to point out, and just goes to show, like, you never know someone else's circumstance or situation, even though it might seem like it. And even you guys listening, like, I'm sure if you have followed along, been with us for a while, followed us on Instagram, I'm sure you can get the gist of how much we love our father and how much he meant to us and what a positive, oh my God, positive impact he's had on our life. Like, I always think about, we are only the reason in the way that we are because of him. Like, I feel like I am so much, like, I see so much of him in me and you, and, like, I love that.
Yeah, I feel like many times when, like, in the harder times when, like, I was looking for a job in Ireland and, like, kind of, like, flailing or whatever, like, feeling not very good about it, I'd just, like, have his head in my mind, be like, okay, call these people, get this done. You know, he was always, like, bing, bang, boom, like, just, like, keep pushing until it's done. Like, what would he always say? Like,
you remember his quotes better than I do and things he would say.
Oh, my God.
You always say them.
And taking care of business, TCOB. Like, he'd be like, TCOB.
But he texts you TCOB.
Yeah, like, taking care of business. So I'd be like, okay, I'm going to take care of business today and, like,
apply myself no matter what. Day.
Like, yeah. Show up.
I love that. Guys, we could just talk about, like, him and memories. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be another podcast, too. I mean, we could talk about it for hours. Like, memories with him, funny stories, the ice fishing story. Like, I just think of so many things.
It's true.
And that's a way I'll talk about later, too. But you can find gratitude and peace and hope and joy and laughter again, thinking of, like, the happy, fun memories. But anyway, what I kind of want to talk about next is give you guys some real, like, structure, I guess, if you're grieving and if you haven't really looked into it, if you haven't sought out therapy. I guess I should bring that up because I feel like I can't even really talk about it because I haven't really done it. But everyone else tells me how important it is and how helpful it is. So, and you can really, like Lucy knows, you can go through and, like, dissect your feelings and why the way you're feeling certain things.
I think in a lot of cases, well, aside from grieving, like, any mental health or any, like, issue you're dealing with or, like, trauma event, like, whatever it is, I feel like it's so helpful just to be validated and be heard and, like, understood, and, like, they, like, you, I don't know, validate you so you don't feel, like, insane, you know? And, like, they can or give you alone. Ways to think about things or whatever, like, tips and maybe, like, journaling or, like, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Oh, I feel like you told me.
It's definitely, like, that's really big. And Dara's read a lot of books about that as well. I think it's important. But, I think it's just nice getting different methods of dealing with your own mental health.
I think.
And staying on track with it, like.
I know. I think everyone should seek out therapy. When they are thrown into a new situation where they're grieving the loss of someone close to them, because no one teaches you in elementary school how to deal with it. Or maybe your elementary school did. I think they all should. But I think we don't talk about it enough in today's life. So I think everyone should do that, even though that might be kind of hypocritical for me to say since I really haven't. I went to one group therapy thing and it was just so not for me and so terrible and too
I've
soon.
I've never
and,
been to...
No.
I've bad. Actually... Yeah, I've, hated I don't it. Think I've done group therapy. I don't know.
It really was not for me, but everyone's different. And for example, my mom loves it. She loves her group. Loves it. She doesn't like the one-on-one. And I think I would like one-on-one so much better. And I think I was just not ready, and I'm about to go through the stages of grieving because I thought that would be helpful to give you guys some structure over here. But I must have been very early on because I was like, oh my gosh, this just doesn't feel right. This is so wrong. Like, they didn't even know my dad. Why should I even be talking about my, like, most wonderful, most amazing person in my life that I lost when they don't even know him? Like, they're not going to understand. Yeah. And then you realize, okay, they do understand. They lost someone close to them too. That was exactly how it was for my dad to me. But I'm like, they don't get it. So I literally sat there and sobbed the whole time and, like, couldn't do it. However, I felt like that would be good to say because I feel like they sort of, like, have the toolbox for you to help you out of it. But if you haven't done anything like that or more like me, where you're just kind of floating around trying to figure out on your own, things like reading about stages of grief could help you because then you could kind of pinpoint, oh, maybe this is where I'm at. This is what's next. I don't know. And I'm sure it looks different for everybody, but I guess this is just generally some stages that probably therapists have put together. I don't know. And I think, I mean, Lucy, you're talking about it. I must have learned
these. I remember learning the five stages.
At some point, like in health class?
In health class,
I think so. I don't know. So I found seven and five. I kind of like seven. Well, I like both. I like how seven includes pain and guilt. Okay, so let's start with seven. Too. So the first one is shock and denial. Everyone can relate to this. Everyone can agree that you go through denial. Like, immediately you're just like, well, that can't be. How can he be gone? I know him. He's in this house. He's my best friend. He's my dad. I live with him. I love him. He can't be gone. Like, I just remember walking to the house, maybe, like, the day he passed away or the day after, and I'm like, well, he can't. He's just not gone. Like, there's pictures of him everywhere. His stuff's everywhere.
That's what was hard living here last summer, like we were talking about. But, yeah, just being home is hard for that reason at first.
Oh my gosh, I totally skipped over after the funny purple sweater moment. I'm looking at my notes, you guys. I talked about what we're happy about, happy quote, but I skipped over what I sort of wanted to talk about. I guess I'm just interrupting here. You guys just got to bear with me. This is how my mind works. we're going to go back to what being home is like without our dad, because like I was just saying, you're in denial and you come home at first or wherever this loved one, close one to you is, and you're just like, well, obviously they're still here. How can they just be gone?
I think, like,
their stuff is here. Like I see them here, you know?
Well, being in college, it's like I can stay in Boston and think to myself, oh, he's like back at home in New York like he always is, you know? Like where he's been for 3.5 years. So yeah, he's still there, you know? And then I got home for the summer and I was living here. And it was really sad, and Teddy would carry around his slippers and his socks, and I'd, like, try to not sob, like, seeing
that. So you felt like being home over the summer, it started to really hit you, and you were more, like,
I was just extra sad. Like, I was, I feel like I was sleeping, like, all day, like, and so was Mom. Like, we, like, weren't doing good, like, but just, like, seeing where he would be all the time, in the kitchen, the
you, TV, like, see him everywhere. And,
everything. I just see him, like, everywhere.
I think I was in denial for, like, way longer than you guys, and maybe, like, still am a little bit. Like, I find moments where I'm, like, well, dreams is a whole nother thing, but I'll have a dream and I wake up and me and my mom and
that would happen to me a lot,
We always talk about this. We have a dream about him. Everything's good. We're hugging him. Like, me and Lucy and him are, like, hiking or in New York City or, like, when we were kids and everything's
good. And I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, like, thank God or something. Like, I'm, like, think it. And then I'm like, oh, no, Lucy, no.
Like, I wake up and it feels so real and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, him passing away, it was just a nightmare. Like, this is real life. And then, like, 30 seconds later, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, it's just really confusing. So.
And then you're like, no, I'm living the nightmare.
Yes. You're like, wait, that's this reality. Is great. So, being home without him here is definitely difficult, especially when you're, like, in the environment that we were used to being with him here and him being in this environment. And that's why being somewhere like Ireland or Boston, it was sort of almost easier to cope or just, I guess, lie to yourself, be in denial because. Like, I remember right after he passed away, we had to go back to school. We had to finish. And being there, it was like, well, he's just back home. He's just probably back home. And, like, we're in Boston, and I'm just going to not think about it till I'm back home sort of thing, which I feel like is what I did. So now when I'm back home, oh, my gosh, the first couple of days I was home, I was so emotional. My mom was like, I think you're really emotional because it's the first time you've been here for, like, a long time with all your stuff here without him here. And so, it's definitely weird. But I think it is like a part of the grieving process and helps like move you along and you get used to it. And okay, so second stage, shock and denial takes a while though. And I'm sure we still have moments where we're like, oh, well, he's just golfing with his buddies on vacation. Mm-hmm. Like the first week after he passed away, had his services, family's in town, whatever. And I just remember being at the service, like holding it together, being like, okay, I guess we're like celebrating his life. This is weird. He's just like at Man Golf with his friends. Like I just always would think that he was like golfing with his friends because that's what he loved to do.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Ireland, like working and stuff, I was like, I just would want, I want to call him, you know?
Yes.
And like tell him and send him pictures, tell him to come, whatever, you know?
I think that's the moments that really got to me at first too, because like I said, we weren't in this environment that we were used to being with him in because we were in college for 4 years. So what our relationship with him looked like at that point was FaceTiming him, calling him, texting him every day. And so I think that's what we probably both felt immediately, not being in Albany, being like, I just remember thinking that too, like, I just want to text him, or like I just want to show him this new apartment that I'm moving to.
It was weird.
I want him to be at graduation. Things like that.
Like I think I hadn't like let myself consider that, and then I think I like discovered that I was thinking that like subconsciously. I was like, I just really miss him, and then I was like, oh, I really want to like talk to him, like tell him what's been going, like how my work, it like whatever. I think it might have been after I got like fired from the sheep shop. I was like, like hell bent to like get this guy back, like what he was awful, my boss, but whatever.
So you just want to tell him what's going on.
Yeah,
but you know what I started doing,
like journaling, like, or
in
something?
The beginning. No, I, you know, I really should do that. And we were talking about gratitude earlier.
That's what this journal was for originally.
Gratitude.
Yeah,
didn't journaling really keep up with
all of it. Like,
but everyone's the best. I feel like the most productive people that are, like, successful are, like, oh, I always wake up and write down, like, 5 things that I'm grateful for. I want to start my day off with that.
I've always tried to do that.
Can you hold me accountable and make me do that, please?
Yeah, Dara would make me do that every time we hung up the phone.
Good. See, that's good. And then it probably, it forces you in a better mood because you're thinking of that. But what were we saying? Oh, Dad, in the beginning, when I would have things I would want to tell him or show him or whatever, I started realizing, I don't know, this is a little crazy, but maybe some people are with me here. I would, especially here, because you can see the stars better than you can in Boston, I would take Teddy out at night and I would just talk to him. And I'm like, I know
did that too,
he can hear me up there. I wish he could answer. I wish he could talk back. But I'm just going to tell him. I haven't
done that in a while, but yeah.
I do that whenever I take Teddy out at night.
I think it's because I was with Dara, like, I was not really alone. I'm like, I don't, he's gonna think I'm insane.
Yeah.
But I remember doing that a lot here last summer. Every time I'd take Teddy out at night or something.
It feels good to tell him. Yeah. Or if I had a text I wanted to send him in the beginning, I feel like I would just write it down and tell him about, like, my new apartment and here's how graduation went or whatever. I think that's a good thing, and I feel like I've heard that from other people. Their therapists tell them to journal and write things down that they would tell them because...
Yeah.
I guess in a way, you putting it out there, like, they can probably still receive it in a way in heaven. But okay, next step. Did we get to it yet?
No.
The second step. Sorry.
We should probably like zip through. What's the next
Sorry,
one?
Sorry, everyone. We're
depression?
So dead. No. You're skipping so many steps. Next one, pain and guilt.
Yeah.
I mean, this is good to talk about because Lucy and I feel like both felt guilty.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, when you lose someone close to you, it's not your fault. Like, listen loud and clear, because I feel like people close to that person can feel guilty. I mean, I guess I don't know your specific situation, but I would say
depends,
for the most part, like, it's not actually
but
your fault.
You can twist things into any way, and when you're mulling over the same facts in your head for, like, months, weeks, days, hours, like, you know, all, like, multiplied by a million.
And you always think, what if?
Yeah.
What
it's just
if,
like a pressure cooker of like all these thoughts, and you're like, okay, so it was my fault. Like that's where it comes down.
You
to.
Think about everything, and you're like, okay, like 2 + 2 equals this is obviously
it's like,
my
well,
fault.
This shouldn't have happened, and I should have done something to change it from happening.
I mean, we would always think that, like, what if we had changed his diet? What if we had spent more time with him before? What if we changed this? What if he didn't go in for
what
the operation?
What if he wasn't in pain? What if he got help with that stuff so he could be more active?
Yeah,
Oh, my God.
So you always go through...
Everything's, like, connected and interconnected. And so you can drive yourself crazy and, like, in circles with that, but...
Yes.
It's
so
not worth it.
When you're feeling guilt, know you have progressed to the second step. Okay, third step. Mm-hmm. Anger and bargaining. I feel like they always show this in, like, movies. I don't know why I think this in my head. Bargaining, like, you think, oh, my gosh, if only I would give this for this or type of thing.
I remember telling you that type of stuff all the time.
Like what?
I'd take my broken back 70 times over and, like, everything that happened to me in college. Infinitely, like.
So, congrats. You have progressed to the third step.
Wait, what were the two? Bargaining and
anger
what?
And bargaining.
Anger. Yeah, and anger. Like, whenever, like, I try not to be bitter, but I find myself so bitter many times. Like, literally, like, any older person's birthday that's older than him, I'm like, you don't deserve it. He deserves it. Like, I don't know.
And I think I kind of wrote this later. I'm
like, you
old fart.
Like, you should have been, it should have been you. Like, or, like, when people have anniversaries, I get, like, angry because I'm like, mom and dad should have been able to have their 60th. Yes. Like, Dara's grandparents just had their 60th, and we celebrated it, which was hard because it was the day after dad's birthday. Mm-hmm. It was July 4th, and dad's birthday is July 3rd. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, trying to keep it together. But I don't know. It's hard because, obviously, I can tell I'm very, like, happy for them and, like, I don't know. I love them all. I, like, love Dara's family. But then, like, I still have, like, those demented thoughts where I'm like, I'm bitter. Mom and dad are never going to be able to have their 60th. Like, they deserved it and, like, all this stuff.
But it's good that you talk about it like that, though, because although you recognize, like, okay, this might be bad that I'm, like, I'm upset at old people for, like, you know, their life and living this long.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a very normal reaction during grieving or, like, a common thing that people feel. And it's really weird when we would, like, you know, go to the grocery store and see an old couple and be, like, actually pissed off. But I think that's just a part of grieving, and it happens to people.
Yeah.
And it's really weird.
It's really weird.
Like, I remember talking.
I've never felt so, you know, bitter, who I remember, like, saying random this? Hatred. Like,
I guess I won't
so
say
weird.
Exactly who.
Not, like, actual hatred, but still.
But just
bitterness,
you're upset.
Like,
I won't say the exact friend in case the mom doesn't want me to say this, but I remember talking with a close friend's mom. And after she lost her mom, she's like, I remember being at the grocery store and seeing old women, old men, and just being so angry.
Yeah.
That why couldn't that be my mom? Or why couldn't
Dad
that...
didn't have, like, a gray hair on his head, so I'm, like, still...
So I feel like we could get... Yeah. I don't get really angry when I see old people anymore, but in the beginning, I'm sure I did.
I would a lot, and then I think... Yeah, sometimes I get set off, but I think it depends on, like, the timing of it. Like, obviously, if it's around dad's birthday and I'm already really emotional and, like...
Yeah. And then after anger and bargaining, that's the third one. The fourth one is depression, which, you know, the pain, anger, depression, I feel like all goes together for me a little bit. But that's different. Like, the depressed moments of grieving, I'm sure everyone could... assume what that would be like. Yeah. Like, it feels like, I was telling Lucy before this podcast, I typically don't have depressed thoughts or feelings, so I guess I wouldn't really know, but for me in grieving what that felt like, and this felt like the very beginning of just sort of shock, but just feeling like I was like a shell of myself, like feeling really hollow and empty, and like you literally can't get out of bed because you're just sad and like so hung up on the idea of like, how can this be real? Like, this is so not fair. I'm not over it.
Yeah,
like,
nothing's, it's not worth getting out of bed.
Like,
it's
not, nothing's going to make it better.
Nothing's better right now. Like, it's not going to make it better if I do this or that. Yeah.
So that's really tough, but I guess that's after anger and bargaining. So, oh yeah, and the five
like
stages
they can
is the
come,
fourth step.
Like, together, honestly. Like, I feel like, sometimes I'm sad and then I, like, get set off because I see someone celebrating a birthday
like
that
it's not
he
a
didn't
linear,
reach or something.
Like,
and
seven steps, it can be.
It's not like, oh, okay, thank God you've moved on from
that's what,
pain
I was
and
like,
guilt.
Congrats, you've
like,
moved to the third step.
You're still going to feel guilt when you're depressed or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and then after depression, it says the upward turn, which... I don't
I'm
really
waiting
know.
For.
Maybe maybe you're starting to feel hopeful. And then six is reconstruction and working through it. And seventh is acceptance and hope. So, and then the five stages, more simply, it kind of just condenses the seven, is denial. I feel like this is what people typically learn. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. And, to be honest, I don't even know if Lucy and I have moved to acceptance and hope. I mean, I guess in certain ways, but
like
I said,
I'm a cluster of it all.
Yeah, I don't think it's a linear thing. I think
and
we
then sometimes
feel
I'm
all
like,
it.
You know, like he, like Dara always says this, like he's always like, well, he would no matter what, he wouldn't want you to be sad. Like he would never no matter how he went, like, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like, that's what would make him... I'm gonna cry.
Lucy, you're looking sad right now, and it's gonna make me cry. I saw your eyes getting teary. No. We made it 47 minutes with no crying, so I'm so impressed with us. Guys, Lucy looks so cute and like a little girl when she cries. It's gonna make me cry.
I'm like a kid when I cry. But, yeah.
Lulu, you're right, and Dara's right.
Yeah. And then I feel bad because sometimes, like, I found it was hard because sometimes I just get caught in, like, my angry, like, depressed mindset or whatever. Like, especially during COVID, I feel like it gave you, like, too much time to think about the things that you couldn't think about before.
Yes.
And I know, like, I'm so grateful because I know it was, like, it's still a really bad situation for a lot of people who, like... domestic violence, like, all that stuff. Like, I'm, like,
people being
so
sick.
Grateful I have, like, support, and, like, people being
in
sick.
In your health.
And, like, I'm healthy and everything, but I also felt bad because I feel like I would just get in, like, these spirals of, like, being sad or angry or, like, it shouldn't have happened or whatever, like, feeling all of the stages, like, at once. And, like, I don't know, it's just about, like, recognizing the people that are there to support you and, like, appreciating them. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like a lot, I would just kind of take it for granted.
Mm-hmm. Boo. It's okay.
But yeah.
And I think that's a part of it. Like, after, a part of guilt is feeling like, oh my, and I felt like, I really felt this.
Like, I just feel like with Dara, he'd always want me to be, like, grateful. And I'm like, it's easier than it looks. Like, whatever. And, like, get mad at him. But I'm like, he's, like, just trying to be helpful, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's, like, important to remember the people that are supporting you and not, like...
And tell them.
Misdirect your, like, anger and frustration. Because, like, yeah, those are the people around you. So I'm sure, like, if you're feeling angry and frustrated, that's, like, where it's gonna go. But, like, I don't know. Channel into something else, like, workout or something. Yeah. Like, I wasn't, but...
I think we would take, like, part of the guilt. Maybe we think back, oh my gosh, when we were angsty teens in high school, like, we were so terrible to our parents. Like, our poor, like... angsty teenage twins are, like, literally a wrecking ball in this home, like, angry. Yeah, but then it's like, you can't feel too guilty for too long or too sad for too long. They don't want that. And he knows.
Yeah, and it's not going to change anything.
Lucy, he knows how much he means to us. You can't feel bad or feel good. I thought you were going to say that you felt bad for feeling all of this during pandemic time because other people are dealing with their health and crazy stuff like that. That's what I thought.
Well, I didn't. Well, I know, like, people are fighting for their lives, but it also, like, for everyone dealing with anything with mental health, it just comes to a head when you're stuck with yourself.
Yes.
And you're stuck with maybe, like, a small family or in a small space, you know? Like,
yeah, if people can't go seek help and go see their therapist in person and these kind of things. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Guys, I was just holding Lucy's hand. She's so cute. I love her so much. You know what I heard from someone, Lucy? It was a girl that I just met. We were in an elevator. Anyway, the whole story of how we got there doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this girl I just met, we were in an elevator, and I was crying. I was crying so much. And she looked at me in the elevator. She's like, I'm sorry. I don't know if this is, like, really inappropriate to say, but I just want to let you know you're a really cute crier. Like, I hope you take that as, like, a positive thing. Like, your face, you look really cute when you cry. And I was like, oh, and I, like, laughed. And I was like, that does make me feel better. And you do, too, because we're twins.
Isn't Kim's, like, an ugly crier?
Who's Kim?
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, Kim K.
Yeah.
Probably because of all her Botox.
No, like, remember the pictures of her crying?
Yeah.
It's like...
But you're a cute crier, Lucy.
Everyone has the right to cries, show their emotions.
She, like, looks like when she was
vulnerable,
like,
kid.
4 years old. Oh my gosh. Baby Lucy is, like, so ingrained in my head because she still kind of looks like baby Lucy.
Yeah, she's Julie so was cute. Saying it was so cute. I'm looking at the picture of me with a dolphin.
You're so cute. Did you have your braces there?
Probably, yeah.
Maybe you got them off. Oh my god, you're so squinty. You're, like, your smile looks like the
so
dolphin
squishy.
Smile. But I want Lucy to be able to talk about her more quotes from Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. But first, I just wanted to say, because we talked about all the stages, I wanted to just say personally, for me, feeling very numb and empty at the beginning was very normal. And I'm sure Lucy felt that way, too.
Yeah.
Right? And how it's just such an isolating feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all right, cool, I'm the only person in the whole world that's ever lost their dad. Yeah. Like, that's actually how it feels.
And it's like, even if other people have lost their dad, they don't know what I'm going through because I'm blah, blah, blah.
And like, my dad was better. And our relationship was amazing. And we were best friends. That's how it feels. Yeah. And then you reflect and you're reasonable and you're like, oh my God.
Everyone holds a lot of love for their family, like, or their the people they care
Most
about.
Most people go through losing a parent. Yeah. And it's awful. And it's like, why don't we learn about that in school? I don't know.
Yeah, I need to read.
But, we talked about angry for at old people, angry at other dads, normal, you'll get through it, and having, I think, just having breakdowns and extreme sadness at random moments is normal. If you hear a song that reminds you about them, if you see something that reminds you of them, literally anything, it can be the most random moments, like, oh, what was it with my mom? I think I was using some of his tools, and she just started crying, because it reminded her of him, obviously.
And we
cleaned
through all of the cooking stuff.
And we cleaned through the kitchen.
He was a really big cooker.
And so that makes her sad.
He was a very good chef.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. We were cleaning through some stuff in the kitchen and made her really sad.
We found escargot that he was going to make with, like, the little shells to serve it in and whatever.
Oh, you guys, he was such a good cook.
But, I was going to say... Oh, just because you were talking about, like, everyone deals with it, whatever. Like, everyone deals with people passing. And there's a quote that's, it's, if there is a meaning in life at all, then there must be a meaning in suffering. Suffering is an ineradicable part of life, even as fate and death. Without suffering and death, human life cannot be complete. And I'm like, it is just, like, a fact of life.
Yeah, it's awful, but it is.
It's awful, but yeah. Suffering in of itself is meaningless, and we give our suffering meaning by the way in which we respond to it. So by the, like, and other time, like, it says pretty much the same thing in the book a couple times, but it says, like, in the way that you bear your cross, or, like, your burden, and, like, your suffering, and, like, going forward, kind of, like, how you do that, like, shows a lot about your character, and, like, like, how, like, your strength and everything, you know?
And I was telling you earlier that how you deal with it, how you come away, how you react to that reminds me a lot of what Daddy would always say about things like realize that you can only control yourself in a situation and how you respond. And that reminds me, say the quote that I always think is funny when you say.
Oh, yeah. It's like water off a duck's back or whatever. Like,
I don't even remember him saying that, but you do. Because, like, you would probably... react or get hung up on things out of your control, so Daddy would say that to you.
Yeah, because there's another quote. It says, forces beyond your control can take away everything you possess except for one thing, your freedom to choose how you'll respond to the situation. Because specifically in this book, they're talking about concentration camp. That's really, like, stripping you of everything, like, even your previous, like...
Yeah.
Like, they don't even, like, you don't even have your name, your anything,
dignity,
your
soul,
previous
your personality.
Identity, like, nothing. But it's like you cannot control what happens to you in life, but you can always control what you feel and what you do about what happens to you. So, like, yeah. But yeah, Dad would say, like, water off a duck's back and stuff like that. But yeah, he'd always say, like, you can't control what happens, but you can control how you react. And that's pretty much the same thing. Yeah, and I think, like, just knowing, like, that all the loved ones or people that you know that have passed... like, they wouldn't want you to be sad because they loved you and they care about you. And if, like, it's, I don't know, it's like almost like if you live your whole life being sad, that's not, they wouldn't want that.
They don't want that for you.
Even, like, if you're sad for, I don't know, like, I go back and forth because I'm like, he deserves people to mourn him and grieve him. He was incredible. Like, that's a huge loss to everyone. Like, I don't know. But... yeah, I go back and forth.
I think
because
of
he
it,
also wouldn't want us to be hung up.
And... I think of it like that. Someone told me, and I really agree with this. It's okay to be sad, but remember that they don't want you to be too sad for too long. You can have moments of sadness. You can have your breakdowns on their birthday, like I did on his birthday this year. You can have that, but ultimately, they want you to be happy. They want you to have your victorious life where you feel fulfilled and inspired, and they want you to find love, and they want you to be happy, and they want you to find joy in their memory, and they want you to do things that they loved and honor them, and they just don't want you to be too sad for too long. So that's what helps me.
Yeah. And I think, well, yeah, in reading this book, it was just kind of talking about being strong and like, but more than that, like overcoming and like staying the person you are, or like becoming even like having like your keeping your ideals and your morals and learning and like all of that. And there was like one quote by Dostoevsky. It says, "There's only one thing that I dread, not to be worthy of my sufferings." So it's like a weird way to look at it.
What does that mean?
But, well, to me, it kind of means like, I don't know, it's obviously like such big, I don't know, like events or like things that like are causing us grief and whatever. Mm-hmm. But like to be able to come out the other side and be like, I don't know, be strong enough to like bear them, bear the cross, like whatever, like he was saying in the book, but mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, just like carrying on. Like that's how I see it, like being strong enough to like deal with what you're dealt, kind of.
Yeah, what life throws at you.
Yeah.
Wait, say the one about love is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
I so like this
one like literally made me cry when I was reading the book, because he was so young when he went to the concentration camp, and he was married, and his wife got taken, like, to a different, and he was hoping she was alive, but, like, she was probably, like, gassed the day one, mm-hmm. and, like, he was talking about, I think it was, like, her 24th birthday, and he knew what day it was, and was, like, remembering her, and hoping she was around and whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was working at the concentration camp, and he just like had a vision of her like with him. Mm-hmm. And so he said, "The truth that love is the ultimate and the highest goal to which man can aspire, and the salvation of man is through love and in love." And I'm like, that's so sweet.
Lulu, my Lucy looks like she's about to cry. She's saying all of this. It's okay, sissy. That's very sweet.
I'm just thinking of mom.
I know. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry. We need a break, everyone.
So Frankl, in like the very beginning, it says like there's three sources of meaning, like people can find in life, like three types, like in work, like doing something significant, in love, caring for another person, or encouraged during difficult times. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's so precious.
I know, I really like that. Wow, now we're both crying. Because I think that does make you feel meaning in life. That, like, is a meaningful life.
And he, like, still loved her and, like, their connection or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doing something significant, caring for one another, encouraged during difficult times. I love that.
Honestly crazy reading this book, because like I'm sad about my grief, but like just like worldwide, like in like, you know, like in
history
and like the span of everything, like it's just so sad reading about this stuff.
Yeah, what people have to go through.
It's so awful how people treat each other. Like,
I know. It's okay, Lulu. Guys, Lucy is like the most, I don't know how to describe it.
I, like, empathize with everything.
She's very empathetic. She, it takes, like, nothing. She feels very and deeply.
I feel, like, immediately she's very caring. How other people feel. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But,
You have such a kind soul, Lulu. That reminded me when you were talking about mommy. I think that's what made me start getting really sad.
I always think about things like
my throat, like, you know, when your throat burns, my throat burns. Oh, right,
I thought
now
you were gonna say it's closing. I'm like, yeah, my throat closed up. I feel like maybe it's like anxiety. And who knows?
Like, we can grieve as much as we can for the loss of the most amazing dad, but someone who knows him even better and has been with him even longer than us is our mother. And they were like the love of each other's life.
Yeah, and partners. Like, I was thinking about it the other day, and I don't know why, but like the partners to me is like such a significant term. Because it's like partners in life. It's not like, oh, it's just my boyfriend or like my girlfriend. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, partners. It's like you're in it together and you're like equals. And you're just like there for each other. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say, and hopefully I don't cry through it, how my mom told me at some point, maybe like a couple months after my dad passed away, and she was like, I want to tell you something. I had this moment of sort of realization. And she's like, I want to let you know that it just came to me where I was like, I can do this. And I have to keep going. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, that's sort of like her moment of hope finally arrived.
Yeah.
And it made me so emotional. I was like, yes, Mom. Like, I always knew you could. Yeah. And it just took her a moment because it's like her heart was literally ripped out of her chest mm-hmm. and the rug was yanked out from underneath of her. Like that.
Yeah.
When she lost her husband of almost 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant a lot to me because it's like, as her daughters, we worry like crazy about her and we just love her and squeeze her. And we are so blessed to have the strongest, most independent mom. And I feel so lucky that's what her personality has always been.
Yeah.
Because I think her independent nature of like loving spending time with herself on her own and just being so strong and like taking care of herself, that sort of thing, has really benefited her in this whole situation. And that she, you know, was working. It's not like she wasn't working and she lost like also the only source of income, or I don't even know. Yeah. I know that's very like specific or like logistical, but I don't know, things like that. I just we're very lucky and blessed with our mama, but everybody knows that we think that. I feel like we always talk about her. She's the best. Yeah. So to conclude, you guys, we're over an hour. Can you believe it? Over an hour.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there anything else I need to say? That's...
Oh, yeah. Tell us anything else. And then I just want to move to what has helped us specifically. Yeah.
Well, I just like this because I took Latin in high school and a bit at PU. But it says, et lux in tenebris lucet. And people probably don't take Latin, so no one knows what it means.
I have no idea.
But it says, and the light shineth in the darkness. And I think, I don't know, I love that.
You want to know what that reminds me of?
What?
Well, a part of things that have helped me is seeing signs. Mm-hmm. And not to get, like, too into it, I'm sure.
Like the full moon or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of you are religious and spiritual. I'm sure a lot of you are not at all. So regardless of any of that, I think...
Yeah, we're on both ends of the spectrum ourselves.
So. Yeah, Lucy and I differ a lot in that way. So I think regardless of that, you can maybe or try to tell yourself to look for signs from heaven. Yeah. And one that I wanted to say earlier on, like in the beginning of this that I never did, Lucy, guess what I saw this morning right in front of my eyes?
What?
That flew up right in front of me, in front of the window, and disappeared very quickly.
What?
A red cardinal.
Oh my gosh.
And you know how oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry. People always say that's like one of the most like direct signs from heaven.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. And I've been thinking about recording this podcast, planning it out. And I feel it, obviously, just being home, I think about him all day, every day. I'm always thinking about him. And so I was working out this morning and right in front of the window, saw this cardinal, and I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, hi, Dad. Like, literally certain things. I'm like, hi, Dad, I see you.
I think it was a gray herring. They're, like, the really big, maybe a great heron. I don't know. I think there's just the big ones, but I know Daryl loves them, like, the blue herons. They had them, like, specifically in, like, random, like, in, like, Europe, but then they also have them in Zambia. Which is so weird, but I think Dara saw one there, and he also saw them in Amsterdam and in Ireland, so it would, like, remind him of home when he was in Amsterdam. And then I saw one at the lake. It, like, literally nearly flew into me. It was huge.
Yeah.
And I was on the phone with Dara, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to yourself see the signs, because they will nearly knock you over, and you have to recognize what it is.
Yeah, I feel like in, like, dragonflies at the lake last summer, like, I saved one. It was, like, drowning, and I, like, fished out with my flip-flop. You did!
I remember that.
And then it was just sitting on my flip-flop and chilling with me when I was tanning, and it was so cute, and I was taking a photo shoot of it. But, yeah, my mom was saying that dragonflies are, like, a sign from Dad. And, yeah.
I made a whole video plugging my YouTube channel, everyone. Go watch. I made a whole video about signs from him. And there's definitely even more ever since I made that video. But it's sort of like, I mean, depending on if you're about it or not. But even if it's not and it's in my head, I don't really care. That's because what it helps think, me.
But I don't know. Coincidences are so rare. Because like so many times I would go to like a restaurant and they'd play like one of Dad's and my song or like one of his songs. And I'm just like trying to not cry or whatever.
Yep.
But every time I'm like Like, these boots are made for walking.
I knew. That's so weird you just said that, because that's what was in my head.
I don't even know if that's what it's called, but... And then, like,
that's what we called it, whack-a-boom, when whack-a-boom. We were little.
Yeah, and then, like, Mr. Blue Sky, yeah. Like, that stuff just tears
Keisha
me
Lorraine,
up.
Lucy, remember Keisha Lorraine?
Yeah, the B-52s. Like, listening to music is, like, I feel, like, really hard.
The Bee Gees.
It'll bring you...
Nora
like
Jones.
It brings me back more than, like... It'll bring back, like, the emotions and everything. Like,
I tried listening to Nora Jones one night in the shower.
No.
And I cried for, like, 30 minutes. No, maybe
I listened to, I remember watching Atomic Blonde with Dad. That's, like, my favorite movie with Charlize Theron.
Yep.
And I listened to the soundtrack a lot because it's fire. And, like, one of them is Father Figure by, I forget who it is. Came out in the shower and I just sobbed the whole shower after that.
I know. Like, certain songs, I can think about Nora Jones and cry. Okay. Yeah. Like, just thinking about
Her songs. Feel like music is, like, emotional.
Yes. Brings you right back to these moments and memories. Like, it
and
ties
even
you to memories.
And listening to music that I would listen to before he passed away, like, I couldn't do that for a long time. I had to make, like, all new playlists, because if I, like, I don't know.
It just reminds you of old times.
Sad, yeah, or, like...
Yeah.
Weird. It's weird.
Wait, I need to interrupt for a sec. I feel like you were just saying something that was reminding me of something. Oh yeah, we were talking about music, and I said this in my video about signs, but one that's so obvious to me, guys, this is not a coincidence, so I just have to say it quick and as an example. We were leaving his service, and I got in Hannah, one of our best friend's cars. This was, you know, last March, so for coronavirus, don't worry. So I was with my friend Hannah, getting in her car. My cousins were in the back seat leaving the service.
Yeah.
Were you with Dara? I don't know.
I was
I don't
with
know
Randall
I
and
with
Dara. I was in the minivan. We, like, packed in all the flowers. And
okay, yeah. So I was with Hannah. We get in the car. She turns on the car. Mm-hmm. And Bittersweet Symphony is playing on the radio. And I lose it. I absolutely lose it. I kept it together the whole service. Nope. And I'm like, this is literally my dad talking to me. This is him coming to me right now in this moment in this car. Because this is such an old song. This is, like, so emotional and, like, in my soul, in moments with you and him on the back porch at our old house in the summer. Is that what you think of, Lucy? Because that's what I think of.
Yeah.
Playing Bittersweet Symphony, blasting it out back, like, over the balcony, on the patio. Oh, my gosh. And I'm like, okay, hi, Dad. Like, that's you. And that song is never on the radio. It's such an old song. I'm like, this is on for a purpose and a reason. And it's for me to hear it right now because it's a sign from my dad. So, things like that. I know I said I wanted to talk about things that have helped us. So one of them is signs and just letting yourself be open to recognizing signs from them in any situation. Because if you look for them, you will find them. Mm-hmm. Like, you will see them. But something else that you do, Lucy, that's helped you in your grieving. Like, you're feeling down right now. What's something you do that makes you feel better?
Well, for a while, I feel like I would just try to distract myself, but then you're not, like, I don't know.
You're, like,
not
pushing the problem off.
Yeah.
You're not dealing with it.
Because then it'll just come crashing down.
Yeah. Like, it comes back.
So I feel like, yeah, like, thinking about it and letting myself cry, or, like, what, like, writing, like, I don't know. At the beginning, I was really scared to forget, like, literally anything.
Yeah.
I was like, if I forget, like, forget his voice or what, I'm gonna cry. But, but yeah, so I just write down, like, things he liked, like, TV shows he liked, like, whatever, food he, whatever, like, literally anything ever that he liked or reminded me of him or whatever. And then, like, I was gonna make, like, a playlist on Spotify with all of his, like, favorite songs. And then I was, like, I put one song in it. It was a blubbering mess. And
you're like,
I
can't do this.
Tabled that. But I feel like it's not, like, don't push yourself too far. But also, like,
yeah,
I don't know. Do what you're comfortable with, like, journaling or whatever. Because even that's hard, like, putting it into words and, like, seeing it written out. Like,
yes.
I'm like, well, that is that all it is? Like, now all of these big thoughts and, like, moments are just, like, me writing it down so I don't forget now. Like, I don't know.
Whenever
it's weird, but
I write it out, I cry the whole time, obviously. Because I'm, like, putting my thoughts into words.
I'm, like, the cardboard princess castles or whatever. Like, shit like that. It just makes me, like, I'm, like, well, that's all that is.
Little girls. That made me really sad when you just said, I don't want to forget his voice.
Yeah.
Because that sounds literally awful.
Yeah. I was picturing that.
But
we have all these, so many home videos, like, literally
We do.
Like, I'm pretty sure if you sat down and watched them all, you could be there for, like, months. Like, I don't know. Yeah. And I really want Dara and, like, obviously myself when I'm ready, but I would, like, love to watch them.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's a good window into, like, parenting and, like, whatever. Like, he would have been, like, a great grandfather.
But if you get stuck up in,
like, the future, like, oh, I'm going to be, like, who's going to walk me down the aisle? Like, stuff like that. You can get caught up in, like, the really bad thoughts, like, that just make you sad or...
Yeah.
Like, I remember... Like, a genuine, and, like, I would say to Dara, and he's like, well, you can't actually feel like that. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is how I feel right now. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever be as genuinely happy as I was, like, before he passed away, you know?
I know, I think worrying
about... And,
like,
I'm like, even my wedding, I'm like, I'm gonna be so sad. Like, that's gonna be a sad day. And he's like, well, you can't think about it like that. Like, especially, like, it's obviously too soon to... be, like, freaking out, but...
I think when you think about really big ideas like that, like, oh my gosh, am I ever going to be as happy as I was before again? Or, oh my gosh, I can't imagine graduation, having children, wedding, big things like that, you can't let yourself think about that.
Yeah.
And that's all you think about in the beginning, and you... I know it's hard when you're, like, don't think about it, that's all you think about. But I think the one thing that, like, comforted me the most, and Lucy... Mind you here, Lucy and I had our... college graduation that he had a countdown app in his phone looking forward to for years, near like a month and a half after losing him. Like, we were almost there. And so it was literally like, I remember walking across the stage feeling like I was getting stung by 100 bees because it was just so bittersweet.
Am I still walking? Am I here? Like,
it was so bittersweet. Like, I specifically remember looking back up into the crowd on the right side of me. Like, I remember it so specifically and seeing all of you sitting there. And obviously someone's missing. But you just have to remember the big moments that they literally have a front row seat and, like, they are there in spirit.
Yeah.
Watching over.
I think it's... well, I don't know if we should get into... I was going to say, because I think it's easier... I don't know. I'd prefer if I was, like, more religious so that I could see it like that.
Yeah.
Because... But also, obviously, after, like, a big loss or some traumatic event, like, it shakes your beliefs and maybe you're starting from ground zero and you're gonna navigate where, like, what you feel and what you believe or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I think Mom maybe is experiencing that from what I've gathered. But I've
just
having it shake up her beliefs
and her faith kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure what she, how she's feeling about it, but I just remember, like, our cousin Randall, he was asking, like, how do we feel about it? Cause, like, he's been through some stuff and he's religious, and I feel like that's like a very good backbone to have, or like a, I don't know. And, like, because I always think, like, about it, like, I'm like, I hope I'll see him again. Like, I really, but I don't know. I don't want to just, like, hope myself into believing. I want to, like, actually believe to believe or something. So, I don't know.
I'm happy that we both have our voices in this episode because we are so different, have different beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I do believe personally that faith and religion can really help out a lot.
Yeah.
In times of loss. But Lucy's so right. I won't say her name again, just because. But I have a close friend who recently lost a parent, and she's very religious, and she's like, to be honest, I'm like, that's like the one time where it, like, shakes up your beliefs, and you're like, God, hello?
Yeah, big thought traumatic you had my back. Events, it's like...
Or I have...
It's like, so he chose this.
Yeah, like, how? Why? Know? Like, I thought you listened to my prayers, I thought you had my back, and I have a close family member who's very religious as well, and she said she was very angry and upset with God, and I think more recently she was like, I had this moment where I felt like he was here with me and had my back again, and she was like, oh, hi God, like, you're back, and she's like, I felt like he literally said to me, duh, I've always been here. So it's like,
yeah I'm like, I'm glad when people, I don't know, I'm glad when people believe in religion, and, like, I don't know. I feel like it's obviously every person's right to believe or to search for what they believe and to experiment with whatever religions. And I feel like all of them are rooted in the same kind of ideals.
Yeah.
So I do, like, I don't know. I do.
You know who you should talk to?
I'm not, like, what's it called? Atheist? Like, I'm not like that. Is it called, like, agnostic?
I think really you're know. Spiritual.
I, like, recognize all the religions, mm-hmm. and I know that, like, it's not like everyone's crazy because everyone's saying this similar stuff, you know? Yeah. So I feel like maybe there is something, but who knows?
And I think that's very common of, like, well, maybe just the people that I've run into at BU. But I'm going to make a generalization. Mm-hmm. Like, young people our age, I think, are less, like, maybe classically or traditionally mm-hmm. very religious for some religion. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm not like this one, I don't identify as like this one religion or having only these religious beliefs. I would just say I'm like a spiritual type of person. And I think you would enjoy speaking with Arlen because he's mm-hmm. done so much reading and sort of like research about religion. And he's like sort of the idea of like, well, how can all of these be a thing if like, and everyone in all one religion saying, only believes that one's right, then how are they all a thing sort of thing? And he's like, what I realize is I think they're all getting at the same thing.
They're all trying to explain the same thing.
Yeah, they don't want to, like, recognize that. So I think you should talk to him about that.
Yeah, I definitely go back and forth. It's really interesting. But then I'm like, is that just the easy way out? Like, if someone else is controlling it and there's a bigger plan for everything, then you can just feel better about it. Yeah. But if the world's just random and we're all just on this rock, it's like, nothing matters then. Like, I don't know.
I know. You can get really, like, existential and start questioning everything.
And I know, I've talked to Dara a lot about religion because he's from Ireland and it's very, Catholic. People are very religious. Yeah, Catholic, like Roman Catholic. Uh-huh. And there's like a lot of, like, it's just a huge part of the culture. Like huge, huge, huge. And like, especially like going back a couple of years, like I feel like it was even bigger, but with like the church scandals and all the that bad stuff. Like, the little boys being whatever.
Oh, gosh.
Like, just, like, despicable stuff, but,
Okay.
But, yeah, so, I don't know.
Anyway.
I know, but I'm just saying, so, like, I don't know. I feel like in Ireland, like, it feels like you're less free, and I guess it depends on, like, your family and if they're traditional, like, you're less free to, like, kind of experiment with what you believe in because it's so one way.
I'm sure that's people why can I feel relate
like
it's to nice, that.
Like in America, and like not like America's great because
but I feel like certain areas. It depends like where you're from.
Yeah, and it depends what you believe in. Like certain honestly, cities, things are still like
areas, regions.
Still, what's it called? Discriminated against. I feel like, but
like I feel like certain areas and cities and regions are predominantly like one religion, and they might feel people could feel pressured, or like your family, even your family, could pressure you.
That's
Yeah.
I feel like that's a big thing. But, yeah, just exploring what you potentially believe in or what you, I don't know, what you align with.
I think grieving could be a good time if you maybe have never had any past experience with any sort of, like, spiritual thoughts or, like, religious ideas. Maybe you could, I don't know, look into it. It might give you some solace. Is that the word? Some peace.
Yeah, some solace.
I don't know what that means. I don't know why that came to mind. Is that the right word?
That's a really good word to use. Quantum solace is like a James Bond movie. But yeah, it's like little piece kind of quantum. Or so much.
Okay, can I tell them a couple other things that helped me specifically that I can think of? Mm-hmm. Especially in the beginning, you guys. This probably is like oversaid. But I swear, exercise. Because
I wish I exercised. I still haven't gotten into it since like Dad passed. I tried to for a bit in Ireland, but I think it would definitely be good to, well, serotonin, obviously.
Yeah, the endorphins force you.
But also just getting yourself out of bed and, like, having any sort of routine.
Well, that's the hard part.
Huge.
That's the hard part. Just getting started is literally the hard part. But when I would be in a little ball in my apartment that we lived in, I was about to say the name. Do you guys know? Dexter. I think I've said it before.
It is
I don't
what
know.
It is. We don't live there anymore.
Yeah, we don't, so it's fine. I lived in a little ball. I was in a little ball.
I was
lived
in this ball. In a ball.
I would be in this little ball by myself in our apartment. Lucy was probably like at class. I don't know.
No,
in the living
I was
room.
In bed too.
Yeah, she was also in her ball. And I'd be crying, and I would march my little booty to the basement, go in the gym. It was always empty.
I did work out a couple times.
Yeah, and I would sit on the bike, and I would cry, and probably someone would walk in and see me and turn back around and leave. I don't even know, but I
just
remember
wearing,
being in there alone, literally letting it all out, crying on the bike, and I would let it out, and guess what? I'd feel a lot better because the endorphins would force me into a good mood.
I'm not, like, a public crier. I can't be, like...
Yeah.
It's, like, even that. Around, like, Dara's parents, I think everyone like, I don't want to be... But I, like, can't believe you'd cry on the bike. Like, every time I felt like I was going to cry, I'm like, nope, gotta go be alone. Like, gotta hop in the shower so no one can tell I'm crying.
Normally, no one would be in there, so that's just true. Worked really well. Even if you're not like, okay, I'm going to go get a good workout in while I'm crying, go for a walk outside.
I would go for a lot of walks. That was nice.
I think, and that brings me to my next point, being in nature. Mm-hmm. Something about, like, the elements of the earth always being constant, ground you have, make you feel like everything's gonna be okay.
Like, honestly, that Ireland's, like, the most incredible country, and, like, the just being in nature there was, like, I don't know, it was so peaceful and, like, deeply resonating, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just very nice and, like, almost therapeutic, and I could just, like, see him and, like, everything, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, every time I'd look out the window, I'd be like, oh, the sky looks like Daddy's eyes. And, like, because they'd be, like, bluish-gray.
Aw. Lulu.
But, yeah.
Oh, you're making me cry. Okay, other things that helped. Like, right now, want to know who would help you by squirming around in your arms?
Teddy and Brody.
Animals. Yeah. Okay, specifically pets that you can squeeze. Help a lot. Don't they?
Petting cats a dog, are nice because cats just cats will too. Chill with you.
They when you pet an animal, it releases what in your head?
Yeah.
Serotonin? I forget what one it is.
I forget which one it is.
But it physically, maybe unless you hate animals, I don't know why you would hate animals, but if you do, like, don't do this. But most people you're allergic, like animals. Like,
I'm allergic, but I still
Guys,
do.
Lucy pets Brody and gets, like, hives on her face.
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh. It's
hives
bad.
In Ireland too, because I think cats are maybe animals, I'm more allergic to.
But you love them.
Yeah.
The hives will go away, right?
I know. They say like allergies sometimes come and go, like in 7 years. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe I'll sometime be like free of this. And I think I first got it when I was like a tween, and I was like, I'll be rid of it so soon, and now I'm like still allergic, like
23.
Maybe 14 years is my time, because I'm like, I'm planning on getting like a Great Dane with Dara, like an Irish Wolfhound, like pets.
Well, you better just keep your Zyrtec and Claritin.
I know.
Always
I'm just
going to
be
pocket,
stuffy
girl.
All the time, but it's worth it.
It literally is worth it. Animals are like the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
Next up. Staying busy and being productive. Now, this is a double-edged sword because, like Lucy said, you can be trying to stay busy and be productive to, like, ignore what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. But I think instead of trying to do that, stay busy and productive so that you're distracted in a good kind of way. Mm-hmm. Like, you are just focused on things that make you happy. But
I feel like keep a routine, but also, like, I feel like that routine could include, like, therapy or talking to, like, your sibling or, like, so like one of your loved ones that is also experiencing this loss and, like...
Or 30 minutes where you cry every day and just let it out. Because I always, there would be moments where I'd be really sad. I would just go let it all out and I'd feel a lot better.
I think I cried maybe, I could probably count them, like, maybe 20 times while I was in Ireland. Like, I just... tried not to cry so often that it would just come bubbling up like over me and I'd just be like a mess.
Well,
a
that
disaster.
Is how we're different as people too, because I feel like
I always had people around. Like if I was alone, like I remember being alone, I feel like I would cry like every day.
But I think typically,
but like with Dara, I don't want him to be sad because I'm sad, so I'm trying to, you know.
Oh, I never really thought
and
of
then
like that.
Living with and this is a whole other thing. I say what you will about this, but we lived with a housemate, and I didn't tell him that my dad passed away, but I'd talk about my dad like he was still around, and so he'd, like, one day he was asking, because we were playing the PS4 that I brought from America, and I'd log in with dad's account, and he's like, so what does he use? I'm like, nothing.
Oh.
And he's like, confused. And I'm like, oh my God, why'd I do this to myself? You
I
know?
But I think we both do that.
But I would talk about him like... present. Dara would talk about him like past. Yeah. And Dara's like, and I'm like, stop giving it away. Like, you know. But Dara's like, do you want me to like tell them if you don't want to tell them? And I'm like,
no,
you
tough.
Could, but maybe you shouldn't.
But
and then like COVID hit just in time for me to not have to be a blubbering mess at his 1 year anniversary or whatever. Yeah. So
I think maybe people have their different ideas. Like you said, say what you will. But I think in my mind, I think
like
we both sort of talk about him in the present, but I think it's a good thing in my head because he's still such a big part of our lives. I definitely just made it harder
for myself, though, because then every day I was, like, anxious, like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe I haven't told, like, our friend, you know,
Well, I remember telling people I just met, or, like, it would just come out of me.
I
would
tell the randomest people, but then, like, with him, I was, like, I felt like I could, and obviously you can do this with anything, but you feel like it's not the right time, or, like, oh, they're all, like, hanging out and playing video games. Like, not right now. Yeah. But...
Or I just feel like people will talk about being tall or something, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you won't even believe my dad's 6'9".
I told everyone.
And then I'm, like, backpedaling. I'm like...
Like, he is.
Is.
Okay. I always say is, yeah.
I'm just and like, they'll be like, no way. Did he play basketball? And I'm like, So it gets tough. But I like that we talk about him in the present because I think it shows that he's still such a big part of our life. And he is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just hard with, drawing the line with that. Like, either I feel like you have, I don't know, I guess it'll sort itself out. But I'm like, I feel like either you have to be like all present or all past. No. Like either.
I do both. I catch myself. I'll be editing through my vlogs and, like, I was downstairs the other day, and I was like, oh, my parents do this. I still always do. I say my parents.
Yeah.
And, like, even though we only have one parent left, I don't know.
I know. I'd say that to Darren, but obviously he knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know?
I still say that to my
parents. Like, comparing, like, my parents. Like, because, like, just talking about, like, his parents living with his parents versus living with, like, my parents, like, just during COVID, like, for a couple of months, I'm like, this is different. But, yeah, I'd always say parents.
Yeah, I didn't even really think about that, but I do still talk about him in the present. And what I was saying, I was trying to say before that I think crying and how we handle that differently is I feel like you've typically throughout history have been the type of person you sort of like let things that upset you bottle up and then they all come flowing out.
Yeah.
And I feel like I haven't been like that. Some things more recently, I'll, like, cry about spilling a coffee, and everyone's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. That was the tip of the iceberg. Like, 20 things happened before that that you didn't see. That's why I'm crying over the coffee. I don't care about the coffee. I care about X, Y, and Z before.
But the coffee was the cherry on top.
I try to let it out, because that usually makes me feel better. And that's what I always tell Lucy. I'm like, just let it out. You'll feel better. But
I got waterproof mascara, because I'd cry so often, like, in public and try to, like, be fine, like, in Ireland.
And you're especially. Like, okay, the waterproof mascara will hide. But then I couldn't get it off,
and then I'd be waking up like a raccoon, and, like...
And you're like, okay, it's not worth it.
But I still use it the whole time I was in Ireland. Also with the rain, but... Primarily for tears. That's, like, the first reason I got it.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap this up in the next couple minutes, because this is an hour and a half right now.
I got a call from the garage, but I'll just call back after.
Okay, sorry this is getting so long, everyone. I knew this would be long, but I think it's really important and really meaningful, and I'm really happy that we're talking about this. So, last couple things that helped me, and I assume helped Lucy, too. Listening to advice that I know he would give us, because we know our dad. Mm-hmm. We knew him for 22 years, the first 22 years of our life. And I think that's just what I always go back to. That's what I would go back to even when he was still alive. If he was busy, I would be like, okay, in my head, I would say, well, what would daddy do? What would he do? Mm-hmm. What would he say? What would he tell me to do? And that's what I still do. And since we've known him for so long, it's like he's prepared us for the time that he wouldn't be with us anymore, I sort of think. Because I'm like,
definitely.
I can be really sad and be like, oh, I just wanted his opinion on this. And then I really think deep down and I'm like, I already know the answer because he taught us everything that we know. So that helps a lot. Hugging someone, being home with family, talking with your family and loved ones, talking with our dad's side of the family always makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. Checking in with them, seeing how they're doing, because they lost their brother, son, uncle, you know? We already said this, but to stop worrying about the big moments and know that they're always with you, that helps. Mm-hmm. Being out in nature, I talked about how helpful that is. Mm-hmm. Okay, going through memories and photos, I feel like I'm okay with now. Videos are still a little too tough for me because it's so close to home and I feel like he's right there in front of me and it's tough. And as much as I want us to go watch all of those home videos, it will happen at some point in the next year or two, I'm sure, but just like not tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? And I've always wanted to make like sort of a tribute video for him in honor of him and showcase all those like amazing moments of him being like the most amazing dad, and he would never know that they would be out there seen by a lot of people, but he deserves that because he was the best ever. So if you made it this far in the episode, an hour and a half in. Maybe you'll see that one day. It'll be coming. Yeah. I already talked about signs and how it's okay to be sad, but they don't want you to be too sad for too long. And that you ultimately, in your grieving journey, will happen upon some moments of peace and gratitude for the time you had, the relationship you had with them, and also, depending on the situation, that they are no longer in pain anymore because they're one of your loved ones, and you don't want to see them suffer. You don't want them to have to deal with that. So that's things that have helped me. And when all else fails, donuts, cinnamon rolls even, and ice cream.
Yeah, I was just eating a lot of pasta, but yeah, that would have done the same.
That would have done the trick.
Yeah, I didn't have that in Ireland.
Are you going to end us off with another quote?
One, just because remember how I was saying, like the way you bear your suffering and your cross and that type of thing? I feel like that could have been confusing. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, more about it. It's, he says, so the way in which a man accepts his fate and all the suffering it entails, the way in which he takes up his cross gives him ample opportunity, even under the most difficult circumstances, to add deeper meaning to his life. Mm-hmm. It may remain brave, dignified, and unselfish, or in the bitter fight for self-preservation, he might forget his human dignity and become more no more than an animal. And like that, like, just because in the concentration camps, it's like people... Like, obviously, you're pushed to, like, extremes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, people, yeah, it's, like, either you don't care about humans anymore or you keep your morals, you're giving out your last slice of bread that you only get one a week or whatever, like, stuff like that. Like, you're still caring, you're still, I don't know, trying to be, like, a moral person and all of that. And then, yeah, so this one... It might not seem too happy, but he says the meager pleasures of camp life provided a kind of negative happiness or a freedom from suffering. So it's like you don't have to focus on being like the happiest you've ever been and like I don't know, like going the complete 180 from like being sad or angry or guilty or whatever, all those things. Like, just even being, like, okay where you are, that's, like, a huge step, you know? And, like, a huge, I don't know.
I love that.
Should be grateful that you're able to be okay and you're able to go take care of business and do the day-to-day. Like, I remember also, I was going to say earlier, like, I don't know why, but it really, like, was, I feel like one of the, like, the nicest things that I've experienced from, like, a professor. But our, remember, I'm, like, going to cry. Remember our psychology of coaching professor? I'm gonna cry. He was so nice.
Aww.
He was, like so understanding and was just telling us, like, put one foot in front of the other. Like,
yeah,
so nice. And, like, honestly, I feel like I, like, needed that exact advice because I was, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, literally, I remember being, like, on the ground in the hospital. Like, I just, like, collapsed on the floor in the hallway and was, like, trying to call Dara. And, like, his ringer wasn't on, so we didn't wake up. And I was, like, well, I'm going to die here. Like, this is it, you know? And I feel like part of me obviously, so, like, whatever, like, ended there. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like... I don't know, appreciating the words from people, like, not even just people, like, that are, like, there supporting you, like, your partner, or, like, your closest friends, like, even just, like, professors, people that, like, know your situation, even, like, the slightest bit of it, and if they're able to, like, give you advice or any bits of strength, like, I don't know, I
feel like that's... Yeah, take it and listen.
Take it and, like, appreciate it and...
Because they care.
Hold on to it, yeah, exactly.
Wait, I love that because I think that... Especially in the beginning when you're dealing with this, like, enormous weight of grieving. The littlest things, like, taking care of yourself and you're just going about your daily life isn't just that anymore. It's really freaking hard and difficult.
Like, even getting out of bed and showing up to class, you know?
So it's really hard.
Just one foot in front of the other, like, because he was, like, a coach and, like, a dad and, like, you know, I feel like... They have a lot of wisdom and experience dealing with a ton of different people and all these different walks of life. So, I don't know. But yeah, I remember that. I appreciated that, like, a ton.
That reminds me of hearing a close family member tell me that I think this was in the context of like a breakup or something mm-hmm. for another family member, not me. But anyway, not to be like too specific, but it's basically the idea of like
too big, maybe.
Even when this is what matters. Even when it's pouring rain and you're down in the dumps mm-hmm. and you're sad sort of thing, it's like pick yourself up, take care of yourself, brush your hair, put on clean clothes, shower. Mm-hmm. Like it seems specific, yeah. but take care of yourself because you yeah. want to be feeling do like the best skincare version routine, of you.
Like the little yes, things self-care. That you know and
take
like
care.
Remember.
I have a whole episode on self-care. Take care of yourself because when the sun is shining again, the sun comes back out, mm-hmm. you want to be... like ready.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
That's what it reminds me. Really one nice. Foot in front of the other in the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. the last thing I'll say, this is so long. I'm sorry, everyone. The last mm-hmm. thing I want to say, and this is what people tell you when you lose someone, mm-hmm. and I find it to be very accurate. Losing that person, the fact that you lost them, never gets easier. It doesn't.
Yeah.
We're always going to miss our dad. That part's never going to get better.
That's what I always would tell Dara because he'd always be like, it'll get better.
No.
Or like in a couple.
It doesn't
and I'm
get better.
Like, I don't think I'll ever
no.
not.
And know? It can be very overwhelming to hear that when you first lose someone. I'm like, what? It's never going to get better? They're right. It's never going to get better. But what you do get better at is dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely agree with that. It never yeah. gets better. You just get better at dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And you find ways that you feel better and the things that you do when you're in certain moods or whatever that makes you yeah. feel better. I know in some moods I can put on his clothes and look back mm-hmm. at photos and I'm good. And other times mm-hmm. it seems really unbearable and too much
like
and
really
I'm
daunting.
Too yeah. sad. And I walk in his closet and I sob. And other time I walk in his closet and I smile and I feel hopeful and I
mm-hmm.
have good memories sort of thing. So yeah. just be gentle with yourself. Love yourself. Be with the people that make you feel loved and supported. Recognize how big your support network is, mm-hmm. even when you do feel so alone and isolated because you're not. Promise. You anything you want to conclude with, Lulu?
You said something that, like, sparked an idea in my head, and now it's, like, completely gone.
Sparked the idea, and
I'm, like, looking for it. Oh, I remembered what I was going to say.
Oh, tell us.
Well, for our specific situation, I think just, like, losing... He was, like, the man of our family or our household and whatever, and he was also, like, huge and made us feel safe and stuff. So I feel like also it was hard losing, like, our only, like, male family member, and I felt, like, very protected by him. Like, I felt very, like, yeah. safe.
He's our protector.
So kind of, even though I was, like, we were in Boston, like, I still felt safer, obviously, knowing he was around, but then, like, just, like, such a stark contrast of, like, suddenly being and feeling, like, so alone and, like, mm-hmm. vulnerable or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd, like, very, I guess, like, overwhelming or, like, scary. But, yeah, I think just knowing that there's people that care for you no matter what and that love you and support you. Like, no matter if you think you only have, like, a few good friends, like, literally all of the, like, your previous friends and your family members and your extended family, like, everyone wants the best for you and, like,
mm-hmm.
will drop everything to, like, help you, you know?
Yeah.
If you, like, if you just vocalize how you're feeling or what you need in support from people, then, mm-hmm. like, you'll get it, so.
I love that you said that. Because I think yeah. it is so isolating and people forget about the old friends mm-hmm. and the extended family members and even the professors or coworkers yeah. or, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I know I can call my uncle now. Like yeah. the other day I was having car troubles and I called my uncle. He answered on the second ring
mm-hmm.
and it was so great to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he might not even realize how much that means because that's something yeah. that I would have called my dad for.
Yeah, exactly.
And he just wants the best for me and wants me to be safe and happy mm-hmm. and healthy. And
yeah. yeah. Like nothing's going to fill the place, but also you can find support other ways
mm-hmm.
and like through like your extended
other family
network of people who care about you.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. we're finally ending it off, people. This is mm-hmm. the longest podcast episode to date. I didn't know it was going to be this long, but Ooh. We had so much to talk about, you guys. I hope you really enjoyed having this with my twin sister, Lucy. I hope, I truly do hope that this helped any of you that are grieving because it's a journey that you'll be on, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just could only hope that this would help in any sort of way by us being so open and honest with you all. Mm-hmm. So I love you guys so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And
I'll be back maybe to talk about Ireland or whatever else.
I loved having you on. That was so good.
Yeah.
And I'll see you guys in my next episode. Bye.
Bye.